He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson on this Monday 10/9. I'm not hearing the music in my ears than the cue. That's why I was surprised they're still not hearing anything. Anyways, this is the Best Stocks Now show. You never know what you're going to wake up to. This time it was Saturday. It was Saturday that we woke up to declaration of war by Netanyahu in Israel against Hamas. That's got the markets rattled today. We had a huge week last Friday. We had a big gain in the market. And now here we are with the markets nervous again. We've got the Dow right now. It was actually up just a moment ago, and then I see that the air raid sirens are going off in Jerusalem. Dow's down 65. 33,342. NASDAQ down 100 right now, 13,333. The Russell 2000 small caps down 0.5%. Crude oil is up 282. Not much, but it does usually rattle the oil markets with conflict in the Middle East. 85.61 on crude oil. Gold also usually reacts to world events. It's up $15 per ounce to 18.60. And I'm not seeing a big flight to safety in the bond market yet, but we are holding steady. In fact, we're up one basis point to 4.80. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Keit, our chartered financial analyst. And Barry, on Friday, the NASDAQ was up 211. The Dow was up 288. The S&P was up 50, but of course the market had no idea that Hamas was getting ready to break through in many points along the border there down in the Gaza Strip and invade Israel. I don't think anybody, was, including Israel, was not expecting that to happen. And that's where we begin a new week. Do we have Barry? I can't hear Barry.
Yeah, I'm here. And of course, it's kind of hard to gauge.
Okay. Well, we got something wrong on the...
Hard to gauge on the effect.
Okay, do we have Barry?
Yeah, I can hear you. I just couldn't hear the music either when we started, like you said.
Okay.
But the, you know, I think the trick is, of course, it's Columbus Day and the equity markets are open, but the U.S. Treasury and bond markets are closed, so... it's hard to see what effect it'd have on the 10-year, but if you look at the U.S. dollar, of course, is trading, and there's a lot of U.S. dollar strength today pretty much across the board, which is indicative, right, of that fight to safety.
Well, I would just say I've been following this. I was actually working on the newsletter on Saturday morning when the news broke, the subject of the newsletter this week was looks like the market reacted on Friday to of potential for a soft landing with the strong jobs report and interest rates remaining high. And you had a huge day on Friday. The Dow was up 288. The NASDAQ just blasted off. It was up 211. And then you have this happen early Saturday morning. I would just say this. Right now, I think it will have limited impact on the markets unless, and this is a big unless, okay, if Iran were to join in, if the Hezbollah in Lebanon were to join in, if Syria were to join in, if Russia were to join in, then you know, all bets are off. Then you've got like you're headed for Armageddon. I don't think that's the case right now. I think too many things have to happen before Armageddon. We're not quite there yet, but it definitely is a wake-up call to not only Israel, who's been kind of, you know, a little bit nonchalant, worried about, kind of distracted over there on internal issues, right, that they've had between them amongst themselves.
You've highlighted those for months.
Yes.
In terms of internal turmoil.
Yes. And, of course, you know, the enemy, you know, they look for internal turmoil like that because they know the country is weak. And there were some questions, you know, as to whether or not the reserves would report to work when asked to report to work. So I think the enemy took advantage of that. and I, you know, as of now, it's just between Israel and Hamas and, of course, the Palestinians. Hamas is basically Iran. I mean, that is one of the wings. That's their military arm that kind of is their proxy that fights their battles in foreign countries, and it's pretty much Hamas. Hezbollah has not joined in. I mean, they're up in Lebanon. They've had a few incursions up there on that border, and but it hasn't expanded yet. And, of course, you know, the Wall Street Journal is saying that Iran is behind all of this, and Israel is denying it. But it's hard for me to believe that Iran's fingerprints aren't in this because Hamas is basically is Iran, an arm of Iran. And Hamas is the one that has the charter. Okay, you can look it up. It's the infamous charter about the, in their charter it says, you know, the extinction of Israel is
and not just Israel, but you know, just Jews in general.
Yes,
right? I mean, it's not necessarily border related in that
yes.
in that sense in terms of the charter.
So you know, I'm sure Christians are alarmed and saying, "Wow, this is we've heard about Armageddon all our lives in the New Testament, the Old Testament, etc. And the Jews, you know, I mean, they've got to know their Bible." Ezekiel is in the Old Testament, not in the New Testament, and Ezekiel pretty much paints the picture of the last days. But again, I'm just from my perspective, I think there's still a lot that has to happen before we get to Armageddon. But this obviously, you know, has people thinking. Hopefully this will turn people to their Bible a little bit to become, you know, knowledgeable about these things. You read Ezekiel 38 today and Revelations, you know, in like chapter 6, 7, 8, around in there. Okay, well, enough of that. The market right now, you know, I mean, it's going to have a muted effect. The market never likes instability. I mean, you've got... will this impact the world economy? Well, I don't think so, not yet. But Israel's taking a lot of, you know, big, they're shoring up their currency. What else did I read that they were doing here? Oh, they're pledging $45 billion to support the sliding shekel, which is their currency. Airline flights to Israel are cut back dramatically after the Hamas attack.
They called up 300,000 reservists.
Yes.
And then also what? They closed a big gas field for Chevron, so their natural gas field. So
this could drive up natural gas prices. Yeah,
and
they
oil
have that.
Prices are obviously already seen the bump, pretty much going from what we were all got just under, almost just under 80. Remember last week? And
yes.
I think we're at 85 and around 85 this morning in West Texas, and then around 87 or higher for Brent crude. So
yes, and you know, the other thing I would say is that I've looked at a lot of charts here this morning. There's a lot of weakness in the travel and leisure stocks. Okay, this always because in the past, you know, and it's already happened where a couple of Jewish citizens were killed in Egypt. I want to say. We had the incident where, you know, many years ago, a cruise ship passenger. So, you know, this is going to maybe hurt travel, the leisure industry for now, because there's going to be a lot of retaliation. You know, it's going to be kind of tit for tat around the world. And as, you know, Israel clamps down and you know, they've basically laid siege to Gaza, meaning no water, no electricity, no goods coming in and out of there. So they're basically, you know, going to have to at some point cry uncle. But in the meantime, there's going to be retaliation all over the world. So that's where I'm seeing the impact. I'm seeing a good day for the oil stocks here. If you look at Chevron, it's bouncing. Those are strong moves by the oil stocks. And the weakness is in, like I say, travel, leisure. And for whatever reason, tech's a little weak today. I just think that high P.E. stocks are more volatile than low P.E. stocks, than the consumer staples. And that's where your weakness is today. All right, when we come back, there's a lot more to talk about here about this current market. This is the Best Stock Show. We'll be right back. The second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you look at gold, obviously. Gold's going to have a big bounce. It's up $15 per ounce. When I wrote the newsletter over the weekend, I was pointing out the fact gold has really fallen quite a bit. But from a technical point of view, I also said it looks to me like it's sitting on a support level here. If you are a gold bug, that was a pretty good technical pattern on gold on Friday. And of course, you know, as far as oil goes, the biggest factor here is Saudi Arabia was, and this could maybe a big factor behind Iran attacking or Hamas attacking Israel is, you know, they were working on a peace deal over the next several months. You know, Saudi Arabia is deathly afraid of Iran, just as Israel is. Iran has attacked Saudi Arabia several times in the recent past, flying drones and attacking their refineries, etc. So Saudi Arabia, you know, thinks it's in their best interest to form alliances in the Middle East to protect them against Iran. And Iran not happy about that happening. And a lot of people think that could have also been a catalyst. But the fallout will be Saudi Arabia was going to make some promises to the U.S. about oil production, increasing their oil production. Which would have kept, you know, oil hopefully under $90 to $100 per barrel. But now all bets are off as that Saudi Arabia and Israel deal takes a back seat and may never get done here with all of this going on. Okay, taking a look at this week. Welcome to earnings season.
Finally, right? Finally.
We're finally here. It will be nice to see. It was going to be hard for the focus to return to earnings with this going on in the Middle East, but it is earnings season, and we will start to get earnings here coming in. Tomorrow we'll get Pepsi. That's the big one for Tuesday. On Wednesday, not much, okay. On Thursday we get Fastenal, Delta, Walgreens, and Domino's. Okay, so that's really, there's your kickoff is going to be on Thursday. And then on Friday, you're going to have the big banks, and you're going to have United Healthcare, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, BlackRock, Progressive, and Citigroup. But most importantly, on Friday, you're going to have the Taylor Swift concert open at more than 8,500 theaters across 100 nations. As if she hasn't made enough money off of her tour already.
Well, if folks haven't seen it already, I guess remember people were forgetting that they saw it. They saw it, and it was, I guess, so amazing that they were, I don't know if it was the lights or what, but remember people were having, like, amnesia halfway through it. So maybe that was by design.
Yes.
So then they would go watch the same thing again on a screen, I guess. I
yes. So that's a big, big event on Friday. Now, Bank of America says that the greatest U.S. Treasury bond bear market is now. And, well, I mean, in my lifetime, I would say, other than the late 70s, which I witnessed when interest rates went to 17, 18, 19%. But they're saying the biggest, this is the big, Bank of America says we are now in the greatest U.S. Treasury bear market of all time. Well, if you compare where we were at with the national debt in 1979 and where we are today, I would think that would be a huge factor in the faith and confidence in the U.S. government. The peak-to-trough loss in the 30-year Treasury is now 50%. 50% that has gone down since this all began. So anyways, the bond trade, but it's mostly like we've said, it's Treasuries. It's right. Not... It's not corporate bonds, it's treasuries. Corporate bonds have held up quite well.
Yeah, Apple's debt hasn't fell near that much.
Right? I would much rather own Apple's debt than Washington, D.C.'s debt. Tesla headwinds include a sales deceleration in China. You know, we haven't heard much from China lately. That could be a good thing and could be a bad thing. What are they up to over there? They haven't weighed in. Russia hasn't really weighed in yet, but I got to believe they're on the side of Hamas. You know, last we heard is China's economy continues to falter and struggle. And, I mean, this shows up in Tesla's sales. Fresh data out of China showing a recent drop in sales growth for the automaker. Tesla sold 74,000. That was down 11% from the same month last year and were 12% lower than the China-made sales reported for August. So that's a pretty big drop for Tesla in China. Let's check in on Tesla stock here today. It's down 2%. I would say that's mostly the market. Continuing to struggle in China. Novo Nordisk lawsuit over compounded weight loss drugs dismissed. Well, they sued a lot of these spas and a lot of the compounding pharmacies where they make, are able to produce a knockoff. I guess it's pretty easy to get the ingredients that are similar to Novo Nordisk. They're Wegovy, and those stocks had a huge day on Friday, but this is kind of a little bit of bad news for Novo Nordisk. They went after these companies saying, hey, you know what, you're violating our patents here, and a judge dismissed, a Florida judge, where a lot of the Florida's where a lot of these spas are. That's all I know is the people I talk to, the drug works if you want to lose weight. I talked to my friend again. He's down 65, 70 pounds. And I have another friend that just started it a few weeks ago. And he says, man, it kills your appetite. It just, you know, you just don't even think about food.
Yeah, you should have weighed them before, Bill, and then we can track them as we go.
Well, I'll have him send me a picture now. The 65 pound guy, I mean, his picture on Facebook
right.
is just startling. When I see him personally and talk to him, it's just like, wow, this is like a different person I'm talking to. So anyways, they do work, but that is a little bit of a blow. Now, Novo Nordisk, they had somebody sue them.
I was going to say, you win some and you lose some, right?
Yeah.
They won last week, and I guess
yes.
They lost this week, right?
And Novo's down 1.2% right now. And then there's news on Lilly, too, when we come back. Lilly is having another good day today. It had a huge day on Friday with their Mounjaro drug. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, after a huge day in the market on Friday, which kind of ran counter to what you would expect because, you know, that big jobs report is inflationary.
Yeah, almost double than projected, right?
Yeah, interest rates shoot higher. The market went down momentarily. And then by the end of the day, we had one of the best days we've had. In a long time. So, you had this, and everything looked really good. And then, of course, Saturday morning, 6:30 a.m. our time, I suppose, all of this broke loose.
And, last week was the first positive week for the market, I think, since early September. So,
yes, the NASDAQ looking especially good, had a huge day on Friday. Now we've got, another hurdle to overcome. I think right now, I have an app, I-24. I-24, that is news out of that area 24 hours per day. So you can download that app. They also have a TV station, I-24, and you get pretty accurate reports. But, you know, my wife's mother was from Lebanon. She lived in up in the ski area, the mountains of Lebanon above Beirut, and she came to America in the 50s, I guess. So my wife was actually born here in America, but she's half Lebanese, and the whole family is in Lebanon. I mean, her mother was the only one that left and came to America, and one of my wife's cousins is one of the governors of Lebanon. So we stay in touch. Every time we start to get the courage to go visit Barry, something like this happens. Well, you know, I think I'll just we'll Facebook each other still. Right? Right. There's a lot of danger over there now, Lebanon. Anyways, I think that's the next shoe to drop, if it drops, would be Hezbollah. There's actually Al-Manar TV, which is Hezbollah TV. I watch that from time. I've been watching it during this to see what Hezbollah is up to. If they cross that northern border and invade, that opens up a whole nother front. And then, of course, you know, the Gaza Strip has 2 million people in it down there in the south of Israel on the border of Egypt. The West Bank has 3 million Palestinians in it. And if that West Bank, if they start breaking through there, then you've got a whole new ball game. And I'm seeing that there have been
some attacks in the north.
Jerusalem. Yeah, missiles, and right, Jerusalem. Yeah.
And so, Jerusalem's usually not on the terms of rockets. They may get a few, but they tend to not have near as much as some of the other areas. And, yeah, like you said, I've been seeing some reports of where they've had some rocket attacks there. So,
and the market is reacting every time there's more news. So that, I think the market is watching just, you know, those two areas, the West Bank and Lebanon, southern Lebanon, the border with Israel.
And a great proxy is going to be oil. If you watch oil prices, you've got what the old referred to as the old risk premium in terms of when tensions get high in the Middle East, you'll have a bump up in that risk premium, which in turn brings the overall price of oil up. And of course, there's tons of other factors that affect oil, demand being one of them, one of the most important, and supply. But in this instance, it's a good gauge, at least on the, at least in the short term, right, of what that risk premium and turmoil is.
Oil was up $2.33 when we went to this last break. And then during the break, there was the news that it sounds like some people have been killed in Jerusalem from the missiles, which would expand the war, obviously. And oil is now up $3.57, so up $1.50 in just a matter of moments. So this is a minute by minute thing, and I-24 is a pretty straightforward. They've got reporters on the ground all over on this. Eli Lilly rebounds amid bullish view from analyst. Listen to this. Despite a recent decline, Eli Lilly, which is Mounjaro, the weight loss drug, traded higher for the third straight session. In fact, Eli Lilly broke out on Friday to record the biggest intraday gain in nearly 2 months as street analysts issued bullish views on the pharma giant. Bank of America lifted its price target on Lilly from $600 to a street high of $700. Well, where is Lilly right now? 524. That's a significant upgrade.
It
go from 600 to 700?
Yeah, let's get there. Go for it, man.
Now, our own estimates are up just as rosy, if not rosier. And we wrote an article recently on Lilly, and I had one guy respond saying, "This article is laughable." I said, What are you laughing at? He was laughing at the multiple I was using on Lilly. Well, obviously Bank of America is using a similar multiple that I was using. And I just think that, yes, it's true. If you look at the drug stocks over the long haul, I'm a guy who's been watching multiples for over two decades. Generally speaking, you get a pretty low multiple on a large pharma stock because they're slow growers. I can remember, in the day when they traded in the teens, maybe 15, 16, that's, Johnson & Johnson, et cetera. Bristol-Myers has got a P.E. of 7 right now. But when you've got something that is a growth driver, we've seen these estimates that someday 10% of Americans will be taking a weight loss drug. This is a big deal. You're not going to trade at 12-13, and I think maybe that this person who was, attacking by multiple may be thinking of...
Looking at historical multiples is what they're looking
at. And where other drug stocks trade at. But it's all about growth. And what is the growth potential for these stocks? They're going to get glamour multiples. I'm sorry, they're going to get glamour multiples. So I totally agree. With Bank of America, and of course they also mentioned that that Novo Nordisk is equally as potent with their obesity therapy, Wegovy. So, anyways, their analysts opt to remain bullish on the stock based on. Oh, that's the other thing. Most people in the industry that I talk to say it's just a matter of time between now and the end of the year. Now. That has not been cleared. Mounjaro has not been cleared by the FDA for weight loss. But you can go to your doctor and get it prescribed to you, nevertheless, for weight loss. And I talked to one person. He went on an online, like Teladoc or one of those, and the doctor prescribed it for him. And he's taking it, and it's actually an injection. At this point, it's an injection. And he also reported that the injection was easy, not hard. He did it himself. He hasn't looked at a quesadilla in 3 weeks, It just takes your interest.
No Taco Tuesday for him, huh?
No Taco Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Monday either. Las Vegas casino operators make little progress in negotiations with the culinary union workers. So that sounds like it's going to happen. And, of course, I haven't seen much progress made. The only progress I saw is the General Motors agreed to make their coming battery plants union shops. Ford has not given in to that because, you know, it's already tricky.
Well, the plants aren't even made, and and a lot of times it's a joint venture, so it's not like Ford is making their own batteries necessarily. They're going to be working with an actual battery, somebody who specializes in batteries.
Yes,
and, it's hard to speak for your future joint partner, right? In a joint venture, it's difficult to do.
Now, I would say one of the stocks of the day here, I'm not sure what the news is. Maybe it's earnings. Lockheed Martin is doing a big buyback. They raised their dividend yield, and the stock is up 6% today. It's been under a lot of pressure for quite some time.
Well, and it's going to get a bump, right, from a defense standpoint, right?
Potentially, you would think so.
A lot of, or if not all, of the Israeli military, right, is using a lot of U.S. equipment there, whether it's F-16s.
Yeah, it's the jets,
planes, missiles, whatever, right? So.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to dive down underneath the surface of the market. I think there's a lot of stuff that's working today and a lot of stuff that's just kind of on hold. We'll be right back.
I said the right thing, but I must have used the wrong line. I've been on the right trail, but I must have used the wrong call. Hit us in a bad place, and I wonder what it's good for.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show in the interesting times that we live in. In these days, a lot occurring, a lot happening in a very rapid fashion around the world. We got a very interesting tape today. Listen to the S&P 500 here, Barry. Here's your leaders in the S&P 500. Number one, Northrop Grumman, up 9.2% today. Number two, General Dynamics, up 7.1%. Now, growing up in San Diego, we had a lot of people in town worked for General Dynamics. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of General Dynamics retirees that I dealt with in San Diego. I think it's now called something else. No, it's still General Dynamics. But, I mean, they go back to World War II. Number three, LHX, which is the combination of LLL Technologies and Harris. They combined with each other years ago. It's up 6.5%. Halliburton, which we own, is up 6. Halliburton is up, where did that go? 6.6%. Big day for Halliburton. That's in our dividend and growth portfolio. You know, it's like I say, there's times when you don't want to own any oil stocks at all because it's such a volatile commodity, but it's sure a heck of a good hedge.
Yeah,
and it's against a lot of things, right?
On its way to a breakout. I mean, it's getting close to its 52-week high.
Yes, and we do
own. It's been there a couple of times in the last year.
I haven't seen the refiners here today. No, Valero is not reacting at all today. It's mostly the oil producers. Okay, and then you got Huntington Ingalls, which makes submarines and other kinds of naval ships. It's up 6.5% today. Lockheed Martin, which has been in just a tailspin, is up 6% today. And then you've got the oil drillers, Helmerich and Payne, up 5.4%. NOV, which is the combination of National Oil Well and Varco many years ago, it's up 5.4%. Marathon, M-O-R, not the refinery Marathon, but the oil producer. It's up 5.3. Hess is up 5.1.
Exxon's up almost 4%.
Yes.
That's obviously a very big company.
Yes.
We're looking at market cap as well as Chevron. Chevron was up a little over close to 3%. So a lot of your, like you said, your drillers and folks that get it out of the ground or help get it out of the ground are getting a boost today for sure.
Yes, and Exxon also made that announcement last week that they were buying Pioneer Resources, PXD, which is a huge deal. I mean, Exxon already is probably next to Aramco out of Saudi Arabia, the biggest oil company in the world, and now they're adding PXD, which is no small fish itself. PXD is a $55 billion company, mostly in the Permian Basin. Natural gas is not really moving that much today. It's up 1.4%, but it has gone up about 20% in the last few weeks, natural gas. Well, so far, you'd have to watch other countries here. This comes down to, is this going to expand? Is Syria going to get involved? Is Iran going to get involved? Is Russia going to get involved? Right now, you know, it's limited. And in fact, it's even limited, at least as of the weekend, it was limited to that southern corner there of Israel, the Gaza Strip, which borders on Egypt. And those towns, by the way, that town Ashkelon, where all this started, that was the home of the Philistines in the Bible day. I taught the Old Testament last year, so a lot of this is, I'm teaching the New Testament this year, so it really ties together. But that's where Goliath and the Goliath was from. He was a Philistine. And so it's just interesting that this incursion into Israel happened down there, where they've had trouble over time. And, of course, the hostages complicate things, but I just don't think there's much hope. I hate to say it, but there's just not much hope. Other than, Iran found out that hostages are worth a lot of money. They recently got $6 billion for five hostages that they were keeping. So, I mean, they may try to keep them alive for the money, but for the most part, they're using them as shields, hoping that Israel won't bomb a certain area because there's a bunch of Israeli citizens being held hostage right there. But
more lopsided trade, usually. They have a lot of obviously prisoners in Israel, and they usually are known for doing lopsided trades, like 1,000 for five.
Well, Yeah, and of course, Hamas is holding innocent citizens, right?
Right.
Israel's holding people that have committed major crimes. So makes for a lopsided trade. So.
Yeah, and I saw workers from holding workers from the Philippines and other things.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no. No one's safe in that particular arena when it comes to who they'll take as a hostage and who not as a hostage. I think
that's
all. I think at least nine Americans, it's been confirmed, I guess, at this point have been
old people
killed in the event. Yeah.
Just well, anyways, that's the market woke up to air raid sirens Saturday morning. It obviously was a big surprise to everybody, and that's another thing, with the Mossad and how good the Israel is with their intelligence, people are questioning how they could have been caught so off guard. And I've seen a lot of theories on that. So anyways, I mean, it's a minute by minute, hour to hour, day by day, but it's not going to end anytime soon, I don't think, either side. You're not going to see a ceasefire, in other words. So in the meantime, the market is caught in the middle. The market does not like turmoil. The market does not like uncertainty. And right now, it seems like, the tech stocks are kind of caught in between this, being high PE volatile stocks, a little bit of a flight to safety, lowering risk exposure. And, of course, the big beneficiaries so far, the oil stocks and the defense stocks. All right, well, the newsletter, I put a lot of work into it. You get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.